Good morning. It's been quite a year for Foodie, one of Fredericksburg's favorite restaurants. And today, Executive Chef Joy Crump and co-owner Beth Black are with me in the studio. Joy Crump was a contestant on Top Chef this year, and she and Beth won the Virginia Culinary Challenge just this month and the Fredericksburg Sandwich Invitational last summer. Now they're preparing to open a second restaurant, Mercantile, downtown. Good morning.
Good morning.
You all have a lot going on, a lot of awards and prizes, and you wanted to say something specifically about that.
Yeah, I think that someone was talking recently about competition and kind of the negative things that can be associated with it. And we've always looked at it from another angle. First of all, I love competition. I think it's healthy. I think it's a way for us to push ourselves, you know, for me to push myself personally. But I think that when we, by Beth and I, think about competition, and when we enter into it, we think about what comes out on the other side and how can the team benefit. And sometimes the team means Beth and I, sometimes the team means our restaurant at Foodie, and sometimes the team means everybody in Fredericksburg. So when you list kind of the things that we've been involved with, and, you know, we came out on top on this, we came out on top on that, Beth and I think, well, Our whole restaurant competed in Top Chef. I just happened to be the one that, you know, took the trip, and we all competed in the Culinary Challenge as a city, and that therefore we all won, you know. And the Sandwich Invitational was a way for us to say, hey, everybody, look at what Fredericksburg does for Restaurant Week. Let's kick that off with everybody coming out and trying to do their best and make it fun. That's what competition means for us. It's really a group effort, and when we win, we win, and that's just kind of what I wanted to, and even when we don't, we all play, and that's what it's all about. Yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there to start.
And you had the Virginia Culinary Challenge required the city and the surrounding area and anyone in the who has eaten there to be on your team, because it took votes from people. So it was not just one person or one restaurant, but a whole community gathered around to make it happen.
The beautiful thing about the culinary competition is that it was just always so much bigger than Foodie. It wasn't about Foodie. It was about the community deciding whether they wanted to join together and vote for a dish and bring attention to Fredericksburg. And I think that's why it's so special. Someone asked me once, would you have rather won Top Chef or the culinary competition? And we said the culinary competition, because it was solely about the community, and our business is community based. So
yes,
that was really important to us.
Well, let's...
Joy may feel otherwise.
No, I feel the same. That you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
And Foodie has, it seems to me, is a very community-focused, community-based business.
It is.
So tell us how Foodie came to be.
And
you only have, I mean, and you probably write a book about it, but, you know, it's teasing you, but.
Yeah. Foodie started out as a home-based business in Atlanta.
It actually started out as your thesis in culinary
school. Yeah, it did. We had to create a mock business, and then that mock business, I went, you know what, let's turn it into a home-based business, which we did for a little, almost 2 years out of Atlanta, Georgia, and then we decided to turn it into a brick and mortar, and we did a lot of research and kind of figured out what we thought we wanted Foodie to be. But I think that our inexperience and kind of just ignorance about running a business in general left a big blank canvas. So when we actually got to Fredericksburg and we opened the doors, it became what Fredericksburg wanted it to be. And that's been the most fun part of the journey, is watching it, you know, like kind of clay, just sort of evolve into what it is now. So it was really an evolution from an idea that we had and just wanting to give the best possible food prepared by great chefs in a really cool atmosphere to as many people as we could, and it turned it into this community-based experience that we're really proud of.
And what culinary school were you at?
I graduated from the Art Institute of Atlanta.
And when you're saying we thought, who else was thinking this with you?
Just me in my head. No, okay. it was Beth and I. I'm just kidding. It was Beth and I. Yeah, she's here right now. Yeah, my friend.
Excellent. Yeah. And you said when you came to Fredericksburg, kind of the community kind of molded Foodie. So how did you sense what people wanted, and how did that affect what you're doing?
Well, my background's in journalism, so I ask a lot of questions, and I study, and I study, and I study, and I saw what people would buy. I saw what worked with our system, what didn't work. I listened. You know, I think any good young business person listens to what people want. And so we morphed, and we're still morphing. And actually, we're morphing so much with Mercantile, it's going to be a different concept. Because while some people really love the fast casual way of Foodie, there are a lot of people that hate it. And we're listening to those people. So we said, next time around, all right, we're going to give you what you want. Same food, same philosophy, same talented chefs, and same kind service downstairs. But we'll give you a different type of service because that's what you're asking us to do.
Explain the different services. The Foodie is the casual self-serve. What's that? That's people correct. Who haven't been.
Sure. So fast, Joy and I love great food. We love great food, and you know, we'll travel to get it. But when we travel and we sit down at a table, we like wearing jeans, flip-flops, and a tank top. We just like to be very, very comfortable. We're not very pretentious people. So the fast casual concept, I think it's that. I think it's a place where you can go get great food, but you give up a little bit. So I'm not charging you top dollar. I probably could make a couple more dollars on a plate if I wanted to, but I'm not going to do that. And in return, you're not going to pay me tips because you're going to get your own tea. And you're going to let me know if there's a problem because we're going to check on you. It's just a different way. It's not right. That you're going, sitting down at a table with a tablecloth and someone's coming up and taking your order. You walk up to a little line, you order, you pay, you sit back and relax.
And have good food. And how is Mercantile going to be different?
Well, we're going to do traditional tableside service at Mercantile. That's really it in a nutshell. The dishes will be a bit more, I think, just a little bit more composed. Foodie can be down and dirty sometimes, you know, like we always call it our hangover brunch, and it's, you know, biscuits and gravy, and it's chicken and waffles, and it's those things that are like stick to your rib, naughty, naughty food in some ways. And Mercantile, I think we're going to refine it just a little bit and show just another side of what we feel like our chefs can do. But the major difference is it's traditional tableside dining. It's come on in, we'll get you seated, we'll take your order, you know, we'll take care of you during your dining experience, and we'll close you out. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are both these restaurants farm to table based?
Yes.
Yeah.
Explain what that is and how you came to be dedicated to that.
Yeah, Joy actually says it best, because right now farm to table eating has a term, which is farm to table eating.
Yeah.
But in reality.
But it's actually just how I grew up, and I think how many of us grew up. I lived with my mom and my sisters in Pennsylvania, central Pennsylvania, and we're very much governed by the seasons, and very distinct seasons in the Northeast. So in the summertime, we had giant, huge gardens. I mean, probably like a quarter of an acre, and we grew so many vegetables, and we lived near relatives, so we'd buy meat in bulk and then we'd share mm-hmm. it. We would can and use that, you know, eat that same food in the winter time, and that's just the way we did it to be cost effective, bushels at a time. And now that's like CSA, and now that's, you know, farm to table eating. But really, it's just eating what's plentiful, what's in season, because it's cheap and it's delicious,
and what's local,
and what's locally born. So that way of eating is what we really like the most about mm-hmm. the dining experience. Menus that change, menus that reflect the season, food that's economical because it's in season and because it's plentiful, which is kind of the opposite of what I think the marketing pushes behind farm to table eating. People present it as something that's like of a higher quality, therefore it should be more expensive.
Right.
And we think it's the opposite. We think that when you go to a farmer's market, when we go to farmer's markets, like in other cities in Atlanta, and I'm not saying that's not the case in Fredericksburg, when we go to other farmer's markets, it's like tomatoes that are in season are like $1.10 a pound because there's so many of them, you know? And that's the beauty of it, is getting the best ingredients for the best price because it's plentiful and in season.
I'm talking with Joy Crump and Beth Black of Foodie in, here in Fredericksburg. And when we come back, we're going to continue talking about farm to table and how Joy and Beth first got involved in cooking and food. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back. Foodie co-owners Joy Crump and Beth Black are here with me this morning. It's one of the favorite restaurants in Fredericksburg, I can safely say that. And we were talking about your growing up, Joy, and how you had gardens, big, big gardens, and that kind of influenced the way you came to develop Foodie.
That's right. Big gardens that I absolutely hated working in. I mean, I hated doing all of it. I hated weeding them. I hated picking. I hated chucking the corn. The only thing I really liked about it was eating the food, you know?
It's shucking.
That's shucking. That's what I said.
You said chucking.
I did not. So that definitely shaped who I am and how I eat. And it was really a journey to California and, like, spending about almost 15 years there and really understanding different seasonality and different food and different crops that are available in different parts of the country that helped me refine my culinary style and how I like to, and how fresh ingredients really should be in the forefront for me, and how to prepare them simply and quickly, like, you know, to capture that beautiful season that every ingredient has. That's just my personal culinary style. But, you know, business-wise, I always think, and I always say to Beth, like, there's great chefs and great cooks all over the place. We meet them at Foodie. You know, people come in and they say, I love to cook, and I cook all the time on the weekend, and they list all the things they do, and they're incredible. But to take a good cook, which I feel like I'm a good cook, and have a restaurant that's actually one that people want to go to, you kind of have to balance it out with someone who has a different sensibility. And that's what Beth does. She's really heavily involved in the community. She's really research oriented. She has a great sense of what people want and how they want it delivered to them. That's just her thing. And so it wasn't until I was able to combine my cooking with that, that Foodie actually became a business. I always say if I didn't combine with Beth, I'd still be cooking out of my house in Atlanta. It just, because I'm just kind of like, meh, I just do my thing, you know? And she really is, she provides like the gasoline that really drives the thing, so.
But Beth, you said you are not a cook.
I'm definitely not a cook.
She's very bad.
I'm the cleaner. That's why you see me with my little bottle of sanitizer and a rag. I run around and I clean. Yeah, and I had a pretty safe career. I was doing well. I was a journalist at the Fox owned and operated station in Atlanta, and one day, like just by luck, I met Joy and I tried her food, and it changed my life. And I mean, it really changed my life. I lived, as you know, like journalists live on coffee and cheese popcorn. And I think that was my diet for 5 years. And Joy actually left LA. She was in the entertainment field and doing a little bit of cooking, and came to Atlanta, and we met in the newsroom because she was picking up the entertainment segments for the morning program. And that's how we met and became best friends. And she would look at me and I would be like, in sweatshirts and coats and have a scarf wrapped around me in May. And it's just because I wasn't very healthy. I didn't understand food. And I remember the first time she tried to put a blue corn chip in front of my face. I was like, what is this? You know, I was totally making fun of her from being from California. And but her philosophy with food and how she cooked, I just became obsessed and I wanted to know more about it. And that's, I think, really where the partnership began.
Right, exactly.
So Joy, did you grow up playing with dishes and cooking with your grandma? I mean, is there some cute story back there?
I mean, my family is incredibly, incredibly into cooking. My parents were divorced when I was very, very young, and I have a big family. I have three brothers and two sisters, so there's a lot of us. My dad was in Atlanta with my brothers, and my mom was in Pennsylvania with my sisters. So, and we tried to get together as many times as we could. All of our birthdays, holidays, we would have to travel to be together. It was very expensive. So when we got together, we couldn't celebrate being together by, you know, going to the amusement park or going out to dinner or even going to the movies, because it was so costly, mm-hmm. with all the airline tickets, etc. So we'd always celebrate in the same way, and that was cooking for each other. Excuse me. And over the years, preparing food for each other within the family became such an expression of love and such a celebration for the rarity of being together. And it's still that way today. Like, Thanksgiving is not, it's mandatory. You must attend Thanksgiving. You must bring someone that you love with you, and you've got to celebrate for like 4 days. And we had cooking competitions, and my parents were just the worst. I mean, they're great cooks, and my brothers and sisters, they cook like just with abandon. And it's just such a big part of who my family is. I'm the only one that does it professionally, but they all are just, I mean, they're so convinced that they're 10 times better than I am. They're mildly interested in any, like Top Chef, who cares? Restaurant, who cares? Another restaurant, big deal. Like, taste my chicken. You know, that's how they are. They're just like, meh, you're whatever, and we're great. So, cooking is it's who we are. It just runs through our veins.
And it's who you are. Really love it.
Yeah.
Do you bring that same sensibility to your cooking for a restaurant, that service of love, that
Absolutely.
Celebration?
Definitely.
Yeah. It's key. We were just talking this morning. Joy just got back from doing an event in Delaware, and she had prepared food for 900 people, and there were several other chefs there with beautiful dishes, really complicated elements to their dishes, but they kept asking Joy and her chef, Matt Ballion, for to-go containers. And Joy just said there's just something about cooking with soul that I think people identify. Foie gras is beautiful.
Yeah.
Someone made lamb bacon. It was amazing.
Oh, it was so beautiful.
So
just
good.
You know, like cauliflower foam and, you know, just the most beautiful dishes with these elements and like these ingredients that were just such high level, just so composed and lovely. And, you know, it was like, it kind of felt like we were, you know, we had like country ribs and sauteed cabbage, you know, but it just like we felt so good serving the food. And we just saw such satisfaction, not to take away from any of the other chefs, because we walked around and tasted all their food, and it was fantastic. But there was just something we try and do things that are familiar and a little bit different at the same time. It's like, oh, ribs and cabbage, yeah, that's awesome. Oh, wait, what'd you do? You charred your cabbage? How'd you do that? You know, it's like just familiar and different at the same time, and it felt like we checked the box on satisfying their soul. I don't mean that to say that nobody else did. I'm just saying, like, that's just, and that's what we try and do. We try and really cook from the soul and cook with love. And if you're in a bad mood, if you're cranky, you got to go home. We send you home. Yeah, we get going for the day. We make do. Sure that.
Oh, your staff, you're serious?
Yes.
Oh, no, absolutely.
You can tell it on the plate.
Yeah, they come. You know, if you come in, you're tired. You're tired. You're hungover. Your girlfriend broke up with you, whatever. Get going.
Really?
Get out of the kitchen.
Oh, yeah,
because
absolutely.
If you're not emanating like loveliness and positivity and a good mood, it is gonna come out in your food. And we insist on it. And for that reason, I mean, I don't care. That's what we pay you to do. We pay you to do it for 8 hours at a time. Get yourself in a good mood. Sometimes we tell them, walk around the block. Walk around the block, shake it off, and come on back in. And if you can do it when you come back in, then that's when we'll start to put your food up. But otherwise, get going.
It's a much bigger process, a much bigger program than just putting a food on a plate.
Oh my gosh,
it better
yes.
be. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's, I see joy with an open cookbook or studying the way a legendary chef did one move, you know, up until 1 a.m. sometimes. And then I see her back in there the next day at 4 a.m. to try and execute those same things. This isn't just something you put on the plate. Every move is calculated. It's very, very calculated.
And then you're requiring that of your staff also.
Of course.
Yeah.
So it's a whole team.
Yeah, sometimes they'll come in and they get excited because they'll go, oh, there's, you know, 50 people in line, you know, we're awesome. There's 50. And it's like, uh-uh, you're not awesome. You owe that responsibility to mm-hmm. them now. You they're coming here and they're waiting in line for 20 minutes. It's not even a nice day outside. It's it's crappy. They're waiting in line for 20 minutes for your whatever, chicken salad sandwich, your risotto, your chicken and waffle, whatever the case may be. You better get your head straight and give them what they're there for, mm-hmm. which is not just the chicken and the waffle, but it's like kindness
right.
and love and humility and all those things that I believe you can taste, just like you can taste the salt and pepper, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's why anyone in the kitchen, I mean, Joy, anyone in the kitchen, so a member of the Dish Pit, a food runner, they can look at a plate of food and turn it back around. It will not go down to the customer until everyone signs off on it. So yeah, someone who comes in and is cleaning dishes can turn around and look at Joy's food and say, Joy, you forgot that, or you better wipe that plate.
They do it all the time.
They do it all the time.
Yeah.
I remember when we did the sandwich invitational last summer, talking to you all, that it was a team effort to create that sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
That you had staff contributing and mm-hmm. voting. And I know when you won the sandwich invitational, you two aren't even in the picture receiving the check.
No.
It's the team members
that's
that were.
Correct.
So Foodie, your business, Foodie and Mercantile, are definitely a team business.
Absolutely.
And when we come back, we're going to talk more about Mercantile, the restaurant that you're preparing to open in downtown Fredericksburg. I'm Susan Larson, and I'm interviewing Joy Crump and Beth Black of Foodie in downtown Fredericksburg, and you're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back. Joy Crump and Beth Black are here with me today from Foodie, one of the favorite restaurants in downtown Fredericksburg. Before we went on the break, we were just beginning to talk about Mercantile, which is a new restaurant you're preparing to open. In fact, you signed the lease for the building in November, and everyone was very excited, and what's happening?
Yeah, exactly. And dot, dot, dot.
You know, it's pretty easy when you think about it, and that is, with Foodie, we ask people, we feel, to forgive us all the time. It's tiny inside. There's a line. It's hot. Oh, you can't sit outside because it's raining. Oh, it's a little too cold. And so we felt so bad. We feel so bad about asking our customers to forgive us sometimes just because of the very logistics of where we are, that we wanted everything to be perfect with the new spot. Everything. So Joy and I and our team, our general manager Lindsay, and we're like sitting in the office and we're trying to come up with every scenario to prevent problems. And then we realized, hey, we're sitting in the office.
We're frozen.
And we didn't realize that. We recently went to Nashville to kind of study the scene there and go to Inc. Magazine's GrowCo event. And we were, you know, stuck in a room with thousands of other entrepreneurs, and this is just a really common mistake. I mean, we're trying to figure out problems before they happen, and that's preventing us from growth and movement.
Yeah.
So we came back from Nashville last week, and we're like, okay, let's forget it, you know?
Let's order the dishes. Let's start putting food up. Let's to start doing dry runs. Let's check our POS system. Let's get the doors open and we'll work it out.
With Foodie, we were so desperate to open. We had run out of money. My dad had to give us money to buy the first shipment of food. We had nothing. So everything was just about getting the doors open. And then, you know, 5 years later, it's like, oh, it becomes a business and there should be structure and all. And we totally forgot, like, what it means just to go for it. So now we're back and we're going for it. You know, it's not going to be too much longer. We just passed our...
Another few months. No, I'm just kidding. Our bank account cannot afford another few months.
And our accountant will kill us. We just passed another round of inspections. We think final inspections are this week. Then we get to call in the fire marshal and the health department to sign off on everything. And then we're going to go.
We'll just open.
We're just going to open and see how it goes.
So sorry. Sorry in advance for what might go wrong.
Yeah. Hey, but what might go right?
Right? Exactly.
And what's the old adage, you can't drive a parked car kind of thing?
Yes.
I never heard that. That's cool. Yeah,
you never
exactly.
Heard that?
No, I know. Sorry.
So tell us, where is Mercantile? Is it Mercantile or Mercantile?
It's both. I mean, okay. We pronounce it Mercantile, and then we've definitely been talking to some people in town who have pronounced it Mercantile, and we were like,
tomato, barrette.
You can call it whatever, just as long as you come.
Yeah.
So
it's a 205 William, which is almost the intersection of William and Caroline Street. So just around the corner from Foodie. And it's a great little space, and we have peeled back the layers a little bit and found some wonderful original things there, including the name itself. There's a little historical placard right outside that says Mercantile Warehouse, and that's where we came up with the name for it. It used to be, you know, like a focal point of commerce for the city of Fredericksburg. And so we really like to take what's old and try and make it new again in a lot of things that we do, and this is another effort in that direction. So yeah, it's Mercantile, and it's 205 William Street. It's right across from Forage, and it's a great little spot.
Crown Jewelers.
Yeah.
And what is it going to look like inside?
Well, gosh, I hope
it looks like what it's always looked like, which is great.
The designer doesn't kill me. Yeah. So it's beautiful. It's very, you know, we think Foodie is more feminine. This is definitely, we went after like masculine tone. So it's brick that's been like shined, and it's beautiful, and cement floors, and but we wanted to glam it up, give it a little bit of, you know,
girly chandeliers.
Yeah, so we've got chandeliers and spots, and
great, a little bit of local art that's like we hope is going to be a great focal point.
Yeah,
Gabriel Pons took charge of that project, and
yeah,
that was really cool.
A vintage style booth, like from the late 70s, built for it. But we wanted to make it a little funky, so Joy and I took quotes that were very inspiring to us, from chefs to political leaders,
to our parents, to our parents, Jay-Z.
And Gabriel Ponds.
He wrote those quotes out as art on the booths, you know, so we can, you can kind of come in and see some of the things, some of the just adages that we think, like, you can't drive a parked car.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that, but like that, yeah.
But we could put that.
Right, exactly, yeah.
It's too late.
Yeah.
So, Joy, are you going to be cooking at both restaurants?
Yes.
How do you do that?
I know, right? It's one of the things. I mean, I do it the same way that we do everything, which is with a ton of help. We've got a great team, and that's one of the things that we learned. We've got a really, we've got several, but we've got a really cool mentor that it helps us sort of take all the puzzle pieces that we have and put them in the right order and help them work for us. And one of the things that he told us is like, hey, your team is your team is your team. That's like your armor that you wear every day. So study it, know it, build it, and put it out front with you. And that's what we've done. We took the best people that we already had and kept them at Foodie. And then we took some of the other best people that we already had and moved them to Mercantile. And now we're building teams around them, you know? So like, we're so proud of the fact that people who have worked at Foodie and have worked there for a while, they know the system, that they can now move up. You know, it's just not something that many restaurants can do. The structure is the structure, and that's the way it goes. And ours is a lot more flexible because we're growing. So we've taken some key members at Foodie, moved them over to Mercantile, kept some others there, given them a bit of a boost. And so we're building that team that allows Beth and I to clone ourselves and be in two places at once.
You were talking earlier about value-based business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Joy and I take, our vacations have now become trips that we believe are going to better our businesses. So I just mentioned our trip to Nashville, and 2 years ago it was to Portland, Oregon for Feast Portland. And we got to try wonderful food and also go to several seminars. And that's where we heard the term value-based business. And that's what we are. We pay our workers a living wage and not...
Our servers in particular.
Servers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the big difference. We don't ask for tips. Joy and I make that up in their paychecks. And we pay our chefs a little bit higher than market standard here. We also support the local farmers and artisans and purveyors. So what we're doing as a value-based business is we're giving up traditional restaurant profits and giving it to our employees and to the local farms.
And to the community.
And
really.
To the community. Mm-hmm. I mean, the community's giving it to us,
right.
And we're able to flush it right back out, you know, as we sit here drinking our Hyperion coffee. Yeah.
That's right. You have partnerships in the community.
Absolutely.
And one of them is Hyperion.
Yes.
What's that partnership?
That is great. So, Hyperion is legendary. As a matter of fact, when we first opened, one of our customers, who's turned into a dear friend, said there's some things Fredericksburg like love and can't live without. It's the library system, it's Liberty Town Arts, and it's Hyperion Coffee. So we knew we wanted to get on Hyperion's radar. And just, you know, for years we were there as a fan, and then one day we were brave enough to ask, hey, is there any chance that you guys would partner with us? And their GM, Amanda, was wonderful, and she jumped right in, and they created it's a kitchen, you know, Foodie's a kitchen, so we like a nice dark bowl roast, and so they created that just for us, and they're going to be working on all of the coffee at Mercantile.
What's the food differentiation going to be like between Foodie and Mercantile?
No chicken and waffles at Mercantile. No... probably no biscuits.
Yeah,
right?
It's a because smaller
that's
menu.
That's what we're doing at Foodie. So why would we do that
at
Mercantile?
So it is going to be different.
It's going to be totally different food. It's not like you're going to walk over to Mercantile and get the same thing that you could get at Foodie.
Oh, line's too long at Foodie. Let's go to Mercantile for the same thing.
But not for the same thing.
Right.
Yeah, I think there's so many opportunities in Fredericksburg to bring different things that Fredericksburg wants. And as Beth said, we've been listening for years about what they want. And one of the things that they want is, you know, very like particular breakfast options. I mean,
which there are not a lot of breakfast options in the city. And is Mercantile going to be daily breakfast?
Yeah,
daily breakfast. We're going to actually be
7 days a week.
Yeah, open 7 days a week. So
yeah, and Mercantile, we're also getting our full ABC license, or we hope to once the state says we can. And so it'll be breakfast and then available as a private event space at night. So for like smaller groups, we hope that you would want to come with us.
And brunch.
And breakfast slash brunch. I mean, it's we'll have, you know, good savory, like lunch type dishes available all day when we're open, and then breakfast as well. So it's going to have that sort of brunchy, that breakfast lunch crossover feel at Foodie for, I mean, at Mercantile for all the services.
But it will be, again, just a little bit more about how it's sure. the differentiation between Foodie and Mercantile.
Okay, so Foodie's menu changes more often, about once every month. Mercantile's menu is going to change seasonally, so about mm-hmm. four times a year. Mercantile's menu is going to be a little bit tighter, a little bit smaller. And the dishes we feel are just a bit more refined. We love the idea of going after that early morning, like, sort of business crowd, mm-hmm. Like Beth said, with a little bit of a male slant. We're going to really focus on coffee. We love coffee. And it's cool to work with Hyperion, you know, instead of trying to combat them, but instead join forces with them mm-hmm. and come up with stuff that's kind of uniquely Hyperion and Mercantile together. So we're taking coffee really seriously. Cross our fingers that we get our ABC license and we can do some cool, fun, creative cocktails that are seasonal. We're just going to do some fun things that we can't exercise at Foodie.
I was in Charleston last summer and also in Asheville, and the cocktail scene at mm-hmm. breakfast was amazing.
That's what I'm talking about.
And we really don't have that here in Fredericksburg.
We will be hiring, you know, a true mixologist is like an executive chef.
Yes.
It's an art, it's a skill, and it takes
years to get. Very specific training, yeah.
So we will be looking for, once we get that license, I mean, that's going to be a beverage program and a beverage director is going to be very big.
Yeah.
As we grow. I mean, Mercantile is just the next thing. Cross our fingers, we got something else on the horizon.
Oh, can you say?
Well, I'm sorry, what do we have?
Yeah. You know.
No, I'm sorry, what?
Like our version of Catbird Seat.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't listening. I was, but.
Yeah. Do you tell you have something on the horizon?
We actually have no spot for it, so there's that.
You have an idea
in
your head.
We have a million concepts that we want to do. Yeah. We love Fredericksburg. We love it. My favorite food that Joy prepares is not on the menu at Foodie. Her California Mexican is out of control, and I begged her for the second spot to be a California Mexican, not to compete with the authentic Mexican in this town, which is, I mean, you'll often find me at Soup and Taco.
We love Soup and Taco.
Yeah. Holy gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a totally different style, you know,
right.
California Mexican. I begged her. I said, could we please do that the second time around? We're opening a breakfast spot. And then, yeah.
That's what Fredericksburg wants, I think, right now.
Yeah.
Another option for breakfast. Yeah.
And we'd like to kind of flip the script on fine dining. I mean, I don't think anyone's better than Bistro in this town at what they do. And we certainly don't. It doesn't make sense for us to compete with them. But there's another concept about maybe just an open kitchen where the chefs serve you food. We would like to work
just
on
really
something like that.
An interactive dining experience, really visceral and using your hands a little bit, but kind of playful, but really, really taking the diners through a journey of food, which is can sometimes be presented in a really stuffy way. And we really want you to, you know, come in a super relaxed way and do it
and have fun.
With it. Yeah,
so
always.
If anyone has a building downtown.
Yeah, there you go. Please.
And perhaps some money.
Yeah, please.
We're out of both those.
Please.
I'm talking with Joy Crump and Beth Black of Foodie and soon to be opened Mercantile. I'm Susan Larson from Fredericksburg Today Online News, and we're going to continue the discussion when we come back. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Joy Crump and Beth Black from Foodie and Mercantile are here with me today. They've had quite a year with Top Chef and winning the Virginia Culinary Challenge and the Fredericksburg Sandwich Invitational. I feel like I would be amiss if I didn't ask you, Joy, what was it like to be on Top Chef?
Well, I mean, I have been a fan of the show for all 12 seasons. I was on season 12, so all the 11 seasons before that, I enjoyed the show as a fan from that point of view. So to be invited to be on the show was like a career high, and it will forever be. My performance on the show was abysmal. Somebody had to get booted, you know, early, and I did. And I can point to a million reasons why. And it's funny because it's such a competition, and I'm really, I'm a strong competitor in a lot of ways. It was just so different the way that it was. I guess I thought that I was surrounded by a team, and that wasn't. It would have taken me one more beat to figure out that, you know, Joy, no, you're there singular. Even though you're surrounded by other chefs, you're there by yourself, and everything that you do depends on you, and you're going to live and die only by you. And that's not the way I went into it. And that was a bit of naivete, I think, and just, and that's the whole point of the show, is that everybody is off kilter, and some people were just better players at it than I. But the bottom line is, it was an incredible experience to be in the same room with, Padma and Gail and Tom Colicchio. No one can ever take that away from me. And as a professional, as a chef, it was a high. I'll never get off that high.
Do I hear that you feel a little bad about what your performance?
I feel bad about my performance only because, after the fact, when I saw how the community surrounded us and lined up behind it and how our team was so excited by it, I naturally wish that I had gone further and I had been able to stretch that out longer. And I wanted to see the words Fredericksburg, Virginia on the screen 20,000 more times than I did. For those reasons, I wish that I had done better. But to just be invited to the show, whatever, man, that's all mine. And I won't. I mean, that's something that I personally, it's a high. You can't
and
take it away.
The community loves it. Whether it was your name was one time up there or 50 million
Thank you.
Times.
Thank
I
you.
Mean, look, everyone's still talking about it.
Thank
when
you.
I said you were going to be on the show today, people are like, well, ask her, what was it like?
Yeah,
that is so cool.
It's a great club to be a member of. So I'm incredibly proud of that.
And you're coming back to team because that's the way you operate your business. And Beth, you wanted to say something about that.
I do. I don't know how many of them are awake this morning.
None.
But
they can listen to the podcast later.
That's great. But to the men and women who help Foodie every day, I sincerely thank you. The physicality of their jobs. We now have two kitchens where they have to, prepare and hold food in one kitchen and then lug it down Caroline Street and carry it up another flight of stairs to serve it to the public. I thank you. I can't ever properly say how much you all mean to us, and that's why we fight hard every single day for you. I mean, Joy's goal was not to ever really be on Top Chef, but it's like she said, we were talking about it. She said, if I can see Fredericksburg, Virginia on that screen and I can see Foodie on that screen, then it's worth it, right? And I said, absolutely.
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 As we're winding up here, remind people now, you have two restaurants. Tell us what they are and where they are and their hours really quickly.
Sure.
I'll take Foodie.
Okay, go
Foodie's
ahead.
Foodie's 1006 Caroline Street. We're right across from the kitchen at Whittingham. We're open every day except for Monday. We do brunchy stuff on Saturday and Sunday, and then we're open for lunch and dinner, 11 to 3 for lunch, and then 4:30 to 8 or 9 for dinner.
And I will take Mercantile, which is at 205 William Street, right around the corner from Foodie, and we are not open yet, but when we are open,
soon to open,
it'll be 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., and as a private event space, starting at 4:30.
And you can find those on websites, and I know Mercantile already has a Facebook page because I've liked it, and I'll have the links and the information posted on WFVA's Facebook page and on Fredericksburg Today also, so people can come by and see you. So we can look for Mercantile relatively soon.
Very soon.
Awesome. Very excited. We could talk. You've just been so much fun to talk to today.
Thank you.
I could have. We have to do this again because there are a lot more stories.
Anytime.
But thank you so much for being here. Congratulations for Top Chef, for Virginia Culinary Challenge, for Sandwich Invitational.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Joy Crump and Beth Black of Foodie and Mercantile in downtown Fredericksburg. If you haven't been, you really need to come and enjoy their food and their service. And I'm Susan Larson, publisher of Fredericksburg Today Online News. It's one of the first .today domain names in the world. I thought it would be cool, but it's confusing people. So just know it's Fredericksburg.today. And you can join me on Facebook at Fredericksburg Today and on Twitter at Fredericksburg Today. And I've enjoyed being your host on Town Talk these past several weeks. Ted Schubel returns tomorrow. I'll see you on B101.5 with B Scene, with D in the Morning on Fridays, and on the first Sunday of each month on Sundays with D. And as always, you can find me every day on Fredericksburg Today. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.